Good morning. Today we continue our series on John's Gospel as we explore today John 8, 48 through to 59. This is how it reads in the New King James Version. Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "No, we all know that you are a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. In this passage, Jesus made one of the clearest declarations of his divine identity. He declared, "Before Abraham was, I am." That statement changed everything. It revealed who Jesus truly is, the eternal Son of God, and it provoked such outrage that the Jewish religious leaders immediately tried to stone him. The passage began with a vicious attack upon Christ. The Jewish religious leaders tried to destroy his credibility before the crowd. They said to him, "Do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" This was not casual name calling. It was a calculated insult. Calling Jesus a Samaritan was both a racial slur and a religious slur. Samaritans were viewed by many Jews as ethnically mixed and religiously corrupted. To accuse Jesus of being demon-possessed was to portray him as spiritually deceived, mentally unstable, or under satanic control. The Jewish religious leaders hoped to shame Jesus publicly and turn the people against him. Yet their hostility reveals something deeper, namely spiritual blindness. They believed their physical descent from Abraham guaranteed them God's favor. They trusted their bloodline instead of truth. That warning still speaks powerfully today. Many people place confidence in family background, church membership, good works, social standing, or religious tradition. But none of these can save us from the eternal penalty of sin, which is eternal alienation from God. Only Jesus can save us from the penalty of sin and eternal alienation from God. Notice how Jesus responded. He did not trade insults. He did not get into any cascas. He did not descend into bitterness or confusion. Calmly and firmly, he answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me." Christ focused on the real issue, his relationship with the Father. Everything Jesus did brought glory to God the Father. Therefore, rejecting Christ meant rejecting the one who sent him. Perhaps, dear Christian, you have experienced ridicule because of your faith. Maybe someone mocked your convictions or dismissed your faith as outdated. Jesus understands such rejection. He endured far worse. Then Jesus made an astonishing promise. He declared, "Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." The expression, "most assuredly," introduced absolute truth. Jesus was not speaking about avoiding physical death, because all people eventually die physically. He was speaking about eternal death, that is, eternal separation and alienation from God. To keep Jesus' word means more than hearing it casually. It means believing his gospel, trusting him personally, and submitting our lives to his authority. Those who belong to Christ possess eternal life. But the Jewish religious leaders completely misunderstood him. They replied, "Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham?" Once again, they clung to ancestry instead of faith. They assumed their Abrahamic bloodline was their guarantee of acceptance before God. But Jesus dismantled their false confidence. He answered, "It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him." What a solemn statement. These religious experts claimed to know God, yet they rejected the very Son whom God had sent into the world. In other words, they rejected God incarnate who was standing before them. It is possible to be religious outwardly while remaining spiritually lost inwardly. Then Jesus made an even more remarkable declaration. He said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Abraham had lived roughly 2,000 years earlier. Yet by faith, he looked forward to the coming of the Messiah and rejoiced in God's promise of redemption. Perhaps Abraham glimpsed this promise when Isaac was speared and God provided the ram upon Mount Moriah. Ultimately, all God's promises pointed forward to Christ and his sacrificial death upon the cross. The Jewish religious leaders were stunned. They responded with disbelief. "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Then came the climactic declaration of the passage. Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Those were not accidental words. In Exodus 3 and verse 14, God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush with the name, "I am who I am." By using this divine title, Jesus openly declared his eternal existence and equality with God. Jesus was proclaiming that he is the self-existent, eternal, unchanging God. Abraham came into existence, but Christ eternally exists. Jesus did not merely say, "Before Abraham was, I was." He said, "I am." The Jewish religious leaders understood exactly what he meant. To them, this sounded like blasphemy. Therefore, they picked up stones to kill him immediately. Yet the passage ended with a display of Jesus' remarkable authority and calmness. Jesus passed safely through their midst because his appointed hour had not yet come. No enemy could take his life before the Father's appointed time. This passage stands at the very heart of the Christian faith. Christianity rests upon the truth that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. He is not merely a prophet, a teacher, or a moral example. He is the great I Am. Because He is the eternal God, His promises are trustworthy. Because He is the great I Am, He alone can conquer sin and death. At the cross, Christ willingly tasted physical death so that all who surrender their lives to Him will never experience eternal condemnation. Through His resurrection, He conquered the grave and secured eternal life for His people. So, what does this mean for us today? It means we cannot hide behind religion, morality, family heritage, or tradition. We must personally trust Jesus Christ. The same pride that blinded the Jewish religious leaders can blind us today. But there is wonderful hope. Jesus still offers forgiveness, eternal life, and reconciliation with God to all who believe His word. Are you afraid of death? Christ has conquered it. Are you burdened by guilt? Christ offers complete forgiveness. Are you spiritually empty? Christ alone gives eternal life. Therefore, place your confidence entirely in Him. Like Abraham, believe God's promise and anchor your soul in the great I Am. This week, open your Bible afresh. Read the words of Christ carefully. Abide in His truth. Worship Him wholeheartedly. Share His gospel boldly with others. Jesus still offers grace, light, and life to all who will receive Him. Will you believe His word? Will you trust Him today? May the great I Am be your strength, your hope, and your salvation, today and forever. Until we meet again next week, may Christ bless you greatly.